Blog Talk Radio.
Enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another Thursday edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your weekly get-together where we bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and of course, the wide world of sports. And guys, welcome to Thursday night, February the 11th. We're already in February, almost halfway through. These years, they fly by. Enjoy yourself out there, folks. I know you're not enjoying the weather. Cold, snowy. We got a lot more snow than we've gotten in the last 2 years, I think. But I hope you guys are out there enjoying yourself. Big weekend's coming up. We got the Valentine's Day weekend. I hear the dictator out in New York, the state guy, is actually letting people go inside a restaurant. Yep, you don't even have to protest. You don't even have to burn down any buildings. You can get inside. Absolutely. And big news. Dictator Mussolini himself has let in people, sports fans. That's right. We're going to be able to get 10% seating capacity at Madison Square Garden. Now, if it was, say, a funeral for a Democrat or some sort of a religious leader, I'm sure we could pack Madison Square Garden. But us lowlifes aren't really allowed to mingle at this point. He hasn't deemed us worthy yet, but that's okay. We're getting back to normal. See, it's coming, folks. We're getting some fans back in the stands. That's going to be a great thing. I'm pumped up for that. I think it's great. We're getting a little bit of normalcy in this time of craziness. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I hope you guys enjoy the Valentine's weekend. Now when people in New York can congregate indoors and have a Valentine's Day dinner. So that's always good news. So I hope you guys have a great weekend coming up. It's going to be cold. It's going to be snowy. They're talking about some sort of another storm creeping up on us. But it's warm in here, and it's warm where you are, I am sure. And we got 2 hours plus of some great, great stories to talk about. We'll talk about the Super Bowl. We'll talk some baseball. Lots of stuff going on in baseball right now as we flip the script and turn our attention to the national pastime, as we like to call it. I got a little wrestling. I got some football. We're going to talk about what else do I want to talk about tonight? Let's see. I want to do one. I'll get to that a little later. We'll talk a little wrestling. We'll talk about Brady not being the GOAT. A lot of football tonight, so we'll get some baseball in there. We'll talk about the All-Star games, and I want to get in some stuff on, Russell Wilson, Bruce Springsteen, that hypocrite. And Iron Maiden has finally been nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We'll talk about that tonight. So we'll get all of that tonight by 9:30. Jeff's running a little late, so he'll get on a little bit. Of course, we're going to start the show off with some stuff about the Super Bowl. Not the greatest Super Bowl game. Let's see. Brady was Brady. Blah, 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 blah. So true time. Yeah. Coach distracted. Man, I'm not giving in to that distracted thing. I got you. I know his son was don't know if he was arrested, but he certainly was involved in an accident where some people were hurt. Now the guy's been released from the team, and you know, he's had a sort of past. I'm not buying into that. I'm sorry. You get on that field, you're a professional, and I'm not buying into that. I just think I said it last week. I thought the Bucs defense was the difference. I said both linebackers were going to play a role, and they certainly did. I thought Devin White and Levante David were phenomenal. They basically shut out and neutralized Kelce and Tyreek Hill. I mean, Devin White, I haven't seen a linebacker be able to go that fast sideline to sideline and be a tackling machine in a long time. I can't think of one guy. I have to really think about it. I mean, back to the LT days, but LT was just a different athlete compared to the guys he was playing against. You know, this guy was playing against super athletes, and he was just a step ahead of everybody. But not the greatest Super Bowl I ever saw. We'll get more into it with Jeff. We'll talk a little bit. You know, I can't, you know, the amount of people out there who want to bash Brady, and I get that it's easy to hate the guy, but boy, it's not, you know, Matt, Singletary was good. He wasn't fast like that. I mean, he was good to the ball. Don't get me wrong. But this guy is just a machine. But, you know, it's easy to hate Brady, and I get that. But, you know, if you can't be out there, and even if you hate him, you got to respect the fact, you know, you can tell me what you want. Okay, yes, he went to a situation that had talent. I get all of that. People are blasting that. Hey, Johnny Collins. But I got to tell you, you know, this was a team that was 7-9 last year. This wasn't a 10-6 team, you know, made to the playoffs and won a game. You know, where you say, okay, this was a 7-9 team, didn't make the playoffs. Team that haven't made the playoffs in 12 years, haven't been significant in that way in a long time. And he comes in. They win four more games, and they run through the playoffs all on the road. This was no joke. Yes, I think this was a good defense. It got better and better and better as the season went on. I also think that the Chiefs were in a position where their defense was terrible. Their offensive line was bad. And I'll tell you this, folks. Here's what I'm going to give you on that. You know, everybody's making a lot of big deals about Bieniemy I think he's going to be – he's probably a very good coach. But I said this 2 weeks ago when he didn't get picked, didn't get a job. You know, there's a lot of stuff about Eric Bieniemy. And one of the things that I hold is, okay, you know, he's the offensive coordinator in name for a team that's got Patrick Mahomes, who Andy Reid, for most people's thoughts, calls most of the plays. You know, there's definitely a little something there. I know there's also something from his early past that I think that's keeping people from taking him. And I don't know exactly what it is. I've read a few things. But the other thing about him is, you know, here was a big spot. And if you heard Tyreek Hill after the game said, well, the last time we played them, they played us in man, and that's what we expected. And then they came out in this game and they played, you know, cover two, and they were playing zone, and they kept everybody over the top of them. And he said, we weren't prepared. Okay, so let's say you weren't prepared for that. You were guessing they were going to come at you blitzing, and they were going to put pressure on you. They were going to go man up. Whatever you thought, there was no adjustment. The Chiefs made no adjustment not to help their offensive line, not to find a way to get these guys open. They didn't try to establish a running game. And I thought there was a couple times that they actually ran the ball well, and they got right away from it. And there was plenty of time in that game, and I never felt – well, I shouldn't say that. I kept feeling, when are they going to score? Here's where they're going to score. But I never felt like they ever were going to put together a drive to put the points on the board. And I got to be honest with you. I think that's an indictment. If you want to tell me that Eric Bieniemy is a great coach, okay, where was the adjustment? Hey, Andy Reid, where was the adjustment? So I'm down on that whole thing. Now – coming out of this, all I hear was, well, you know, the NFL should not allow teams to go ahead and hire coaches before the Super Bowl because there are certain coaches that, you know, missed out because they're involved. That's fine. I don't think that's wrong. I got to be honest with you. But now people talking about Brian Leftwich and Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles was a disaster. Todd Bowles is a very good defensive coordinator. Some guys just are coordinators. Okay? Some guys are just coordinators. And I think Todd Bowles may be that guy. Now, maybe he gets a second chance on the road. But don't tell me Todd Bowles, before this playoff run, anybody was thinking about hiring Todd Bowles or thought he should get a job. He was bad. with the New York Jets. Okay? They had a couple in the season, 10-5, 10-6. I get all of that, but he lost that locker room. He let those guys just run wild. Okay? And as far as Brian Leftwich goes, hey, let me tell you something. Where was anybody talking about Brian Leftwich last year? So Brian Leftwich is, they did nothing last year. They had a terrible record with two of the best receivers in the game. And then all of a sudden you get Tom Brady and he win a Super Bowl. Now he should get a head coaching job. Listen, I'm not telling you he's a bad coach and maybe he should get a job eventually. But I'll tell you this, it ain't today. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't. And this whole thing that guys get, this whole thing about coaches being discriminated against, I'll tell you this. There isn't an owner in this league who would not hire a white guy, black guy, Asian, Martian, a zombie if they thought they could win a football game with them. I'm sorry. There's no way in the world that Eric Bieniemy is the absolute best candidate and he didn't get the job because he was black. That is terrible. Yeah, I'll get to the halftime show. What a disaster. They shouldn't even have a halftime show anymore. It's a disaster. But people need to stop. If a guy in this day and age, back in the 50s and 60s, maybe even into the 70s, I'll tell you that maybe that was a mindset. I'm not going to disagree with you. But in today's day and age, absolutely not. I will tell you, there's every opportunity out there, and I don't think that color or race or religion or anything else plays into it at all. I believe that any owner will take anybody they think they can win with, and they could care less. And I'm sorry, until they're proven different, I don't care anymore about this Rooney rule and all that stuff. The best guys are getting the job. And right now, Eric Bieniemy did not impress me through this run. And it was terrible. He was not good. So anybody, I'm trying to get woke, Lou. I'm trying to get woke. But it's tiring. Just the best people out there are going to get the best jobs out. Now, do I question Sirianni getting the job in Indianapolis? Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I don't know enough about the guy, but we'll see. But you're not telling me that Eric Bieniemy was head and shoulders above Sirianni or the guy who got hired by the Texans, and all of a sudden, they said, oh, no, we can't take him. He's black. I mean, it's the most asinine thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And in this day and age, if an owner was actually thinking that and told his GM and told a handful of people in his organization, you don't think that would get out? Come on, folks. It's let's wake up and smell it. Okay? Matt, you're out of your mind. But guys, here we are. Rockets, what's it, Thursday night? I'm flying solo until Jeff gets here. A couple of pieces of information. First off, I want to send out my condolences to my my cousin through marriage, my wife's cousin. Dominic Jinta lost his mom. He lost his dad about 8 months ago, and he lost his mom suddenly. She moved out to Texas, and she got sick, and they discovered she had a weak heart, and she passed. And Pat Jinta was one of the nicest people I've had the pleasure of being around. She was a sweet person. If you ever had the chance to spend time with Pat, you'd come out of this smiling. She was such a nice lady, and I want to offer my condolences. I did it personally, but I'll offer them right here to Dom and his whole family on the passing of his mom. And we wish, we hope everything, to rest in peace. And Dom and his brother and sister. I could find a little solace in the fact that everybody who ever got to meet his mom would say the same. So, again, Dom, we're here for you as always. By the way, speaking of Dom, last week, thank you to everybody who competed in the Hard Rock and Sports Super Bowl Trivia Contest. Everybody was a winner. Even though one guy lost, we're sending out shirts. The shirts just came in. I do have them. Hold on a second. I'm going to get one for you. Hold on. All right, here's the shirt. Let's see what you guys think of it. That's the new shirt. New logo. Pretty cool. I like it. So I got a limited number, but I'm going to send some out to the people who won. A couple people asked. If anybody's out there looking, they want a shirt, I will gladly get it to you somehow. I have a limited run, so I'll definitely get them out to you guys. But thanks for guys for keeping in. We'll get your thoughts on the game. We'll talk a little bit about I want to talk about All-Star games. I have a whole bunch of stuff to get to tonight. Harry Maiden to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Russell Wilson maybe on the block. The coaching carousel. I'm sorry. Quarterback carousel is amazing right now. Yes, Louis, I have it. I will be dropping it off to you this weekend probably. So many quarterbacks on the move. I want to talk about baseball. As you know, baseball actually came out and said, we're going to deaden the baseball. Too many people hitting home runs. So are they confessing that it was juiced? I'm curious. Here's the thing. Why isn't baseballs like a football? Why isn't there a standard make for a baseball? Like, I don't understand. And why are we going out there to go out of our way to deaden it? It reeks. It just stinks. I don't understand this whole thing. Do we juice it? Are the seams tighter? Baseball should be made just like a football, exactly the same exact way. And everybody plays with the same ball. I just don't understand it. Johnny, you will be wearing it when the plan plays. You got it, Patrick. I promise you get one. Finelli, you're the man, Finelli. Coming by the site in the morning. I'm down on the baseball thing. We'll talk about Trevor Bauer, this in the Mets. And I got to tell you, after the story from L.A. where, he put this apology, this semi-apology out. But I think if you're in the Mets, you got to be glad. Why were the Mets thinking about $40 million a year for this guy who, I don't doubt he's a good pitcher. And he was definitely the best pitcher on the market. But you could be the tallest midget in the circus, and that don't mean you're 6 feet. The guy is a good pitcher, but he's a 4 ERA. Forget about wins and losses. You're in the fours. You're not a great pitcher. He's not better than DeGrom. I mean, what are you going to do? Pay this guy $40 million and put him on the staff with DeGrom, who's arguably the best pitcher in baseball? I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it. So, anyway, guys, we got a lot to get to. Let me get my dad on before Jeff. We'll talk about the All-Star games. Here's one thing. I never usually agree with the NBA players. I don't really watch a lot of NBA. Have been this year. Knicks are a little better, and it's kind of the show. I got to kind of keep up with it. But the players are upset about having to compete in an All-Star game. And I have to tell you guys, I think All-Star games are bogus at this point. I mean, I don't know anybody who watches the Pro Bowl. Not that they're having it this year. I have not watched the Pro Bowl since Phil Simms won the MVP. So that's 1986, I believe, or 87. The one All-Star game I always thought that was kind of for real was baseball. And the problem with it was, when baseball All-Star game was great, it was because, you didn't have crossover. Guys weren't leaving and playing other teams. So to see, Fred Lynn and Thurman Munson on the same on the same field together was great. To have, trying to think a great pitcher. Let's say Jim Palmer throwing to Carlton Fisk. Or to Jim Sundberg, it was fun to watch, but now with free agency and interleague play, the All-Star games are shot. All-Star games are shot. So to me, throw them all out. I think it's all a waste of time. If you want to have a break in the middle of the baseball season, have it. You want to have a break in the hockey season, have it. Take 3 days off and give everybody a break. I don't care about that. I just you want to do anything. I would say if you're going to do anything, screw the games and just do the competitions. Do the home run derby. Do the slam dunk contest. People are interested in that. Even I think the slam dunk contest is overly done. The best of them is the hockey one. If you ever watch the hockey skills competition, that's a lot of fun. So do those. But the games themselves, who watches the NBA All-Stars? It's like 150 to 148. Nobody plays defense. Nobody cares. And I don't even know why they're doing dishes. Nobody in the stands. Screw it. But let me get my dad on and let's see what he's got to talk about. And we'll get to you guys and hang in there. We got plenty to get to. Again, I hope you guys are going to enjoy your Valentine's Day weekend. And, Governor Mussolini in New York has reached down from the summit and said, let's throw you a little bit of crumbs. Let me give you a little bit of crumbs and let you go inside and eat. If you protest, and I guarantee you, you'll be able to protest outside. You could probably protest indoors. You could probably take like 75 people and put them in a phone booth, and he'd be okay with it. Governor Mussolini. Let me get my dad on. Let's see what's up with Pop. What's we gonna talk about? What's up, Pop?
What's up? Nothing.
What's going on, Pop? What's on your mind this week?
Well, I thought the Super Bowl stunk.
As a football game, I would agree with you. Yeah, yes.
The halftime show is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my God!
I couldn't
what are you thinking about?
To go to the bathroom.
Oh, it's
it
a perfect
terrible.
Opportunity to find something else on TV. I didn't watch a second. I caught it a little later.
Oh,
and I caught the highlights of it, but what a disgrace!
I don't understand what kind of audience. I don't understand that. Is that you're telling me that's what the average person watching TV wants to see? They saying weekend. I don't even know the guy's name. I never heard of him.
The Weeknd. When somebody told me it was The Weeknd, I thought they meant that's when it was happening. I didn't know.
Yeah, that's what
happening.
I first thought when they said The Weeknd was going to be there. I said, it was terrible. The football game, I was never really a big fan of his. I got to give him credit. Of his era, he's the best quarterback that I've seen in a long time. Okay, and the only way you're going to beat him is the way the Giants showed you. You have to put, like you do to any quarterback, put a lot of pressure on him. That's exactly. Holmes is front line. They should take those guys out, and they should be ashamed of themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were snapping the ball, and he looked like Richard Todd. He snapped that ball, he got to go right down. I mean, he never had a chance to throw it.
No, not at all.
Andy Reid, I agree with what you said. You know, you understand the first half. You were trying to run. You seen it wasn't working. So you change your scheme. You go from one thing to another thing. Okay?
Yeah.
He just stepped with that thing. And then it looked like in the end of the third quarter, he just gave up. He just said, you know what? This is what it is. I mean, this poor kid got the ball, and he was running for his life.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dad. I honestly agree. I don't think that – They did not look like a prepared team. I mean, you knew what was going to beat you, what they were trying to do to beat you, and you didn't adjust to it. There was no adjustment in it at all. And, I'll give Mahomes credit. He's a great quarterback, but he did not play well either. I mean, let's be honest.
He's not a great – I don't think he's a great quarterback. He reminds me a lot of what that guy named whatever his name was, Richard the Third. I mean, he's a scrambling quarterback. He's got good receivers. He plays good. But to put him on the same par, no, I'm sorry. You can't even put him near Brady. I mean, they compare. He won one Super Bowl, and you're going to tell me that. I mean, I'm not a great Brady fan. I think he's the best.
I don't think he's the greatest player of all time. You know, I've saw some people arguing that this week, and I don't think Brady's the greatest player I've ever watched. You know, I'm still going Lawrence Taylor, Walter Payton, and then Jerry Rice. But I would say that I've witnessed Tom Brady. He's got 7 rings, 2 different teams. He took a team that was 7. Even if you want to say, well, the Patriots were already a good team. Okay, I'll give it to you. They got Belichick. He went to a team where a guy with a coach who has never won before, with a team that was 7-9 last year, and spun them around and won a Super Bowl. You know what? It's hard to beat. So right now, Mahomes, he's in the they want to say, oh, he's going to be the GOAT. He's going to be the next. You know what? He's got to win 6 more titles, maybe 7 more titles, and he lost to Brady head to head when Brady's 43. I'm sorry.
I don't think he'll ever be Tommy.
Yeah.
Running quarterbacks, you see them. I hate to say it, and the people could argue with me all they want, but a running quarterback does not last too long in the NFL. I'm sorry. Look, where are they? What happens to them?
No,
they get killed.
I got you. You can't be. I don't necessarily put him as a running quarterback in the sense of Lamar Jackson or some of these other guys. I think he's going to get hurt somewhere along the line trying to make the plays he does. You know, he contorts his body and he throws from all different angles. And I think there will be a spot where he may get hurt. Here's the thing. What this proved this year was it is very hard to repeat. It is very hard to do what the Patriots did. Now, the Patriots only repeated once, and that was almost, 17 years ago. So this is not an easy thing to do. And, I won't knock Mahomes. I think he's probably, if I had to pick a quarterback today, for the long term, it would be him, obviously. If I needed to win a game right now, it might be, Brady or Rodgers. But you know, there's no doubt that the kids are good. He was running for his life out there. And I blame that on the coaches, bottom line. But it was, you know what, you just never felt like they were ever going to be in the game. It's just you know, when is it going to start? When is it going to happen? When is something going to go on? And nothing did. So, tough game.
They just played terrible.
Their front line
ought to be ashamed of themselves. They were running right through them.
Yeah.
Like they weren't even there.
Yeah,
they were going
right
through them.
100% Pop.
I've never seen that before.
Hey, let me get before I let you go. Let me ask you about this baseball thing and them deadening
right.
the baseball. What was your thought on it?
Baseball lost a lot of its pizzazz with records. Baseball was one of the only sports.
Yep, where the records mattered.
Their records.
Yeah.
Everybody knew 500 home runs, 300 wins. You know, you knew stolen bases. Everybody knew it. Today
sure.
is such a joke. You got shortstop, second base. True, the shortstop, second basemen are much bigger than the old days. But
yeah.
I do believe there was a dead ball era. And I believe when Ruth came in, he opened it up
mm-hmm.
and he changed it. But then now they wanted, you got everybody but the managers hitting 500 home runs. It's not a record no more. It doesn't mean anything anymore.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, I got it. I don't understand why the need to deaden the ball. I mean, you know, it should be, you know, the baseball should be made the same way every year. That's the part you know, all these years when they said, no, the ball's not livelier. To me, you just basically admitted that it is.
Well, how about the fences? Why are you bringing fences in? I mean, baseball, again, is one of the only sports that everybody has a different fence.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
320 feet, 90 feet, 80
yeah.
feet. It's the only sport that I know of that doesn't have a consistent, that should be for everything. I mean, you go to some stadiums, if you bunt the ball, you got a home run. Am I wrong? Tom? Hello?
I knocked myself off the air for a second. I'm back. Sorry.
No, I got you.
Yeah, listen. Every other sport has a set. Everything is set. So I get that part.
Ball deadening, I think it's stupid. The records don't mean nothing no more. Again, 500 was automatic Hall of Fame. Don't mean anything anymore. It really don't. Sorry
yeah. I got you. It's a different era.
All right, Tom. I'm
going
to let you go. You got other people there. I can hear it.
Yeah.
So enjoy, and I'll talk to you over the weekend. All right, talk to you later.
Hello. Anybody hearing me out there? Yeah, I lost my dad, I think. Let's see if I get it back. Nope, he's gone. Yeah, Pop has dropped. Okay, you guys still out there? I hope you guys are still out there. I hope. No problem, Jeff. Take your time. Yeah. Anyway, Hard Rocket Sports 347-826-9934 is the number. If you want to call in on the radio side, if you don't want to call on the radio side, that's okay. I also want to say a big shout out to my friends over at RFL Records. Yesterday was the big debut of the RFL Records Talk in the Fast Lane podcast, hosted by our good friend John Marhefka. They did a great job. I got to listen to a good part of it last night, every Wednesday night, and we are an official sponsor of the Talk in the Fast Lane show. Every Wednesday, 7 to 9 on John's Facebook page or the show's Facebook page. And listen, they had a great time. I mean, I saw Jeff Westlake, the boys from Red Rain, Sammy from Red Rain, the boys from Corners of Sanctuary, great band. If you get a chance to listen to Corners of Sanctuary, very old school metal band, good stuff. And John does a great job. He's a big music guy. I mean, if you don't know RFL Records, you don't know John, you should take a minute and visit their website. And John's also a huge sports fan, so you get a little sports in there too. So, and the Hard Rocket Sports Show was mentioned. We were on the bottom of their scroll. We were an official sponsor of that show. So make sure you check in with those guys and watch that show. Also on Wednesday nights, if you're in the car or you're listening on the radio, you want to hear Pass the Mic with Mike Passamonte and Carl Graham and JP for great sports. And, of course, right back here on Thursday nights for the Hard Rocket Sports Show on the Hard Rocket Sports Show Network every Thursday from 7 to 9:30. Usually with me and Jeff, we'll be on shortly. Again, maybe we'll jump. We're jumping around. We got my good friend Will Cloak will be popping up. That's right, Will Cloak's popping up for us in a few. Will's going to be talking a little. We're going to be talking about albums released in 1991. Maybe I'll get you up a little bit on that. We'll talk about some of the albums that were released and the bands. And it was kind of that time when things were changing over from metal to grunge. And just a few albums that came out then. You got Badlands with Voodoo Highway, good album. The Bullet Boys, Freak Show. I see, Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. I hated it. Queen's Greatest Hits. Rat, Rat and Roll, that's a compilation. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar, Sex Magik. That's some of the albums. David Lee Roth, The Little Ain't Enough. Rush, Roll the Bone. So, Yngwie Malmsteen collection. So many, the Macaulay Schenker Group and MSG. So, guys, about 8:15, Will will be on, and we'll talk a little bit about all those albums. And until then, it's me and you. We'll talk. Let's get back into the Super Bowl a little bit. I'm going to hold some of the other stuff to talk about with Jeff. Let's see. Where do I want to go? Super Bowl. Let's talk about it. Okay. So we talked about it with my dad here. First off, the ads. You know, the commercials used to be so much fun. You know, everybody, it was always a big thing. And I would tell you, there's probably two ads that came out that I'll tell you were memorable. One, I kind of like the Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis one. I thought that was a little funny. You know, that was semi-amusing. It wasn't bad. So I would say that was a decent one. It wasn't top of the line. Some of the Budweiser commercials of years past. The other one was the Bruce Springsteen one, and I wanted to throw up. I got to be honest with you. I wanted to throw up. You know, here's Bruce getting that. I'm every man. That guy ain't been an every man since he was never a man. I mean, you got to be kidding me. He's driving to Middle America in a Jeep. Stopping at a church. Who are we kidding ourselves? This guy is the biggest jerk off. Flat out, plain and simple. Okay? And then you come to find they dropped the ad now because he got arrested for a DWI or DUI for chugging some tequila in Sandy Hook National Park. I got no time for that guy. He is the biggest douche. I don't understand it. He just don't. I'll give him something. Maybe the guy's a good songwriter. I don't know. I'm not a Springsteen fan. But the voice, I'd rather listen. I'd rather be stuck in it. I'd rather be locked in a phone booth with Bob Dylan on repeat than listen to Bruce Springsteen. I would rather listen to you. I would rather be locked in my trunk with the car on a YouTube tribute station than listen to Bruce Springsteen. I can't stand the guy. He's an arrogant ass. And that whole ad with him driving through the country and, you know, he's visiting the church of light. They can't get that. Are we kidding ourselves here? We're going to reunite? Where was reuniting in 2016, Bruce? Were you the guy saying, oh, you were going to move out of the country? Please. But, yeah, you're probably right, John. I'm sure it has something to do with that. I'm sure it has something to do with that. Now, second thing. So we got past the ads with unmemorable. That was nothing good. You know, Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher. The halftime. You know, come on. Now, I thought I knew it, but I confirmed this year that these guys don't get paid. Okay, you go on the halftime show. I think before it was for free. Now you actually have to pay. The Weeknd paid $7 million to appear on the halftime show. $7 million. Are we kidding ourselves? Seriously, are we kidding ourselves? You paid seven. I get the eyes that are on it, but it's terrible. I mean, is that what it is? Is that why he got picked? I mean, I had to endure. I got through 2 minutes of Miley Cyrus and Billy Idol opening it. I wanted to vomit. I wanted to vomit. You know, here's what I say. There's so many great artists out there. Why can't they get somebody out there who people will enjoy? I mean, I'm not a fan of Bruno Mars, but the guy did a nice job. You know, I'm not a Bruno Mars guy. I mean, but the guy's talented at least. I mean, he sounded good. I mean, you know, you could get the retreads of the Rolling Stones. I'm not saying you got to have metal bands on. I mean, that's what I want to see. But you know, I'm a music fan. I don't mind. You know, you get some decent. But gee, I mean, if you're gonna charge the NFL with all that money, you're gonna charge somebody. Go out there and get some good talent. Get some people to stay. You know how many people you lose during halftime? I mean, last year I had to suffer through Shakira and J-Lo. Come on, man. Stop. Stop. So that was a waste of time. Pre-game. Pre-game show. I don't know if anybody else out there watched the pre-game show. I did. I was home. I was working on the show. I was doing some research. I was also putting in my prop bets. I'll get to those later. Did okay. Didn't do great. I had the Bucks and the over. Talked myself into the over. I was going to go under. But I went to the over. I went to the over and lost. But anyway, we'll get to some of that later on. So you know, I watched it, and this, you know, usually the pregame show is lots of fluff pieces. You know, they're going to talk about the backup center and where he went to school, and he's a deacon in his church, and. You know, there's a lot of fluff pieces. I get that. Yes, John, you're right, John. Boobs at the halftime show is always big. You know, just bring the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders out there and let them do a few routines. I mean, you'll keep every man in America. There's got to be somebody better than what we're watching. But it was all about woke. It was all about them telling most of America that you're racist. And you don't know it. You don't know you're racist. Listen to us. You're racist. That was the whole thing. That was the whole thing. And I have to tell you, you can watch the last 15, 20 minutes and got most of what you're going to do to learn about the game. You know, break it down. You know, if I'm watching a pregame, you know, get some of the great players of today or even a past play and get them out there and let them break down a few games and tell us why. So I know people hear all the time, but at least that's semi interesting. You know, I mean, 4 hours was a lot, and I remember a few years back, I think Fox did 8 hours or something ridiculous. So I get it, but you know, stop with the wokeness. Stop with the wokeness. So I don't know, guys. It was a disappointing game. Now, when it comes to the game, and we're going to get really deep into it. Again, I said it, nobody was prepared on the Chiefs side. You got out coached. But I also think that the Bucks did a nice job of not being one-sided, not relying on any one thing. I thought the running game was really well. I thought getting Fournette and both Jones into the game, and Fournette did a great job. But the Chiefs, on the Chiefs' end, again, there was no, on either side of the ball, there was no adjustment made. And going to halftime, you had all that extra time, and you come out of there, and you don't adjust to it. That, to me, is a sin. And, that's a blight on Andy Reid. I'm sorry. Andy Reid's got to take the hit for that. Hold on a second. I'm just going to pop something up. So, yeah, to me, you know, guys, let it go. There it is. Okay. So I've got some highlights of the game up there right now. But, you know, what I saw was a team that was very aggressive in the Bucs, and they went out there and they pitched the game plan and they followed it. I mean, everybody was involved. I mean, even Antonio Brown, 5 catches, but only 22 yards. Brady moved the ball around. You know, guys were involved. Gronk looked like the Gronk of 5 years ago. You know, I thought it was a good job by the Bucs and Brady. And guys, I'm sorry, you guys can knock Brady all you want. The guy, 43 years old, 100. You know, he 3 touchdowns, and he should have won the MVP. The MVP either should have been one of the linebackers, probably David. If not, it should have been Gronk. All right, no way Brady was the MVP that game. But it looks good, right? So who cares? And at the end of the day, who really cares? So, but again, a bad game and a bad job by those guys. You know, who would have thought that there was no TD, no touchdowns for the Chiefs? I mean, who would have thought that? I mean, you know, You fell for Patrick Mahomes. That's all I can tell you. You fell for Patrick Mahomes. Let's see. And the other thing I wanted to bring up on that is Tyrann Mathieu. Okay, now Tyrann Mathieu has changed his image. He's turned himself into this, you know, good player. He's a good player, well respected around the league. But his tweet after the game was crazy. You know, he put this that Brady said something that I never thought he'd say. And good for Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin went out and said, you know, don't put that up there. You make it sound like, you know, Tom Brady called you the N-word, and we all know he didn't. So whatever he said, either say what he said or just say, hey, I overdid it. And I just think that there was a lot of soreness on that time. I think that Tyrann Mathieu was pissed off. And rightly so. They played terrible football. It was a terrible football game. 31-9? Who would have thought that the Chiefs would not have scored double digits in numbers? I mean, I thought the Patriots would, the Bucs would win. I picked them, but that's terrible. So maybe we'll get back into it a little bit more. Let's see. Oh, and the ratings. And the ratings went down. And I tell you what, I said it. I thought the ratings would be up because most people are home watching it. There should be more. And the NFL should pay attention. I mean, you know, listen. It wasn't like they got 10 million people. They still got like 99 million people watching it. But it's down. It was down from 113 million last year. You know, and this was a big football game. Think about it. Brady, Mahomes, Chiefs going for the repeat. You know, and here's the funny part. Here's the funny part. Let's take that out. Okay. Move from screen. Here's the funny part of that whole thing. The two biggest markets was Kansas City, naturally, and New England. People up in Boston were rooting, like either rooting for or rooting against Brady. Those were two biggest markets out there. So it tells you a lot. That tells you a lot about it, about what the thought process was. So again, you know, a terrible game. Football's in the books. We'll talk a little bit about Jeff. I want to get his take on it when he pops up. But we're going to move on. Again, Will Cloak, about 8:15, 1991 albums that were released. We'll do a little wrestling. I've got a little Steve Stone Cold Steve Austin for you. I want to talk a little bit about All-Star Games. Okay, let's move on to some I'm going to talk about Iron Maiden. We got so much to talk about tonight. Guys, again, remember, Hard Rockin' Sports every Thursday night, 6, 7 to 9:30. We're sitting here doing our thing. We hope you guys come back every week. We will be off next week, as a matter of fact, just so everybody knows. But hopefully you guys will be back with us on the 25th. I might have a special surprise guest I'm working on. I want to thank people out there helping us get it. What I would think is a huge guest. Maybe I'm a little old, so it may not matter to the young crowd. But those old guys, it would be a huge get. New York sports figure from the 70s. I'll give you a little tease. Something I'm going to be working on. A little sports figure from the 70s. I'm not going to give you any more. So you got to come back and you got to check it out. But again, we'll be off next week, back on the 25th with our usual brand. We'll be doing a lot of baseball and all that stuff. And again, guys, I hope you guys get out and enjoy the Valentine's Day weekend. Get out with your significant other or even take yourself out. Governor Mussolini's letting you out. You might as well get outside and go eat some dinner, go out to some of the great places. This area has to offer out here. I go to Feast. We've been 25-35% capacity now. And now that Governor Mussolini and the bozo have woke up, and now they'll be letting 10% use back into restaurants. So hopefully some of my favorites, like the Juicy Lucy over on Father Cap, they'll be getting open soon, I hope. I think it's March. So hopefully we'll get to go to Juice Lucy and have some fun there. But in the meantime, you guys get out there, enjoy this weekend, and make sure you buy flowers for your significant others. Let's see what else we're going to get to. Let's talk about the All-Star Games. You know, here's my thing. I'm not a big fan of All-Star Games. I haven't been in a long time. I want to say the last baseball All-Star Game I really, really watched or got it to watch it was probably early 90s. Bo Jackson hit the big home runs in San Francisco. I can't tell you the last time I watched an NBA All-Star game. NHL All-Star game, it's been a while. Probably the 90s. I can't remember too much in the 2000s where I sat down and watched an NHL All-Star game. And MLB, like I said, and the Pro Bowl, Sims was quarterbacking, I think, the last time I watched an entire Pro Bowl game. So, you know, I agree with the players. It's almost a way – I don't understand why they're having one. You know, I don't agree with NBA players very often. And this one I kind of do. I don't know why the need to have this game this year. You know, you're so worried about contaminations and screenings and vaccinations and everything else, and you're going to take players from all the different teams around the country and bring them into one place. It just sounds like a recipe for disaster. You know, you want to give the guys a break. I don't say how they need a break, but you know, if you want to give them a break, why would you do it and jam 25 or 30 guys into a place? It just makes no sense to me. It's a meaningless game. The fans can't. You know, I'm maybe they're going to let a few people in. I don't even know where it is this year, and I really don't care. I won't be watching it. It just doesn't make any sense, guys. It doesn't. I mean, who's making a decision? DeBozo? Did he recommend this? I don't get it. So, but also games need to go the way of the Edsel, of the Dodo Birds, and you know, it needs to be put away. You know what? There's no need for All-Star games anymore. You know, once baseball went to free agency, once baseball brought in interleague play, the baseball All-Star game, which was the only one that was even remotely credible, in my opinion, it stopped being credible. Because I see these guys on the field together all the time. You know, they're guys are just, you know, every year there's people moving around the league. Guys are playing on 6 or 7 or 8 different teams in their career. It's not a novelty anymore. It's not fun. You know, it's not like I won't see, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, Stanton and the Judge were battling in the home run derby. And you're like, wow, one of these guys on the same team. And 2 years later, they are. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, so to me, it's just a waste. I think it's cheapened the World Series. I have to be honest with you. Interleague play. You know, I don't know. I think you do a little bit, but to do it the way they are now, where basically you're playing against, you know, entire divisions every year. I you know, when the Yankees playing the Mets and the Red Sox playing whoever it was, or the Cubs and the Cardinals and the White Sox or Dodgers, you know, A's. I mean, you can do something that's rivalry driven. I get it. Play 3 games or 6 games. But this schedule they have now, it sucks. And they truth, it's put the knife in the heart of the All-Star game. So, but what do I know? I'm sure Adam Silver's not going to listen to me. I'll give Adam Silver one credit. He you know, when Mark Cuban decided that he wasn't going to play, he was listening to the community, Mark Cuban. And I'm jumping around tonight, but this is why I like to do it. Mark Cuban said, I was listening to the community, and they feel that song doesn't represent them, and they're still, you know, whatever the community that does, you know, this, okay, there's maybe there's 40% of the area, 50%, let's say 50% of the area feels that way. What about the other 50% who wants to hear it? How about that? And Adam Silver is no dummy. He looked at the ratings last year. He sees the ratings this year. You notice there's no, you know, slogans on the back. There's no wokeness this year. And he said, you will play the All-Star game. You will all stand up out there. That's the rules. And they're doing it. And I'll give Adam Silver credit. I blasted them last year. I'll give him credit this year. Okay, so Mark Cuban, you're hearing, you're only listening to 50%, if that. And again, you know what? It goes against you. Everybody wants to say, well, Nealon is not against the country. It's against the way that people are treated by the police. Horse shit. Horse of shit. Shit of horse. I'm not buying it. You just said it. You're blasting our national anthem. You don't like it? Don't play. So I'm glad that Adam Silver stepped up and forced Mark Cuban to go out there and play the national anthem. So good for him. Well, I blasted them last year. I'm going to at least give him a little bit of credit this year. So, but guys, so it's 10 to 8. We're waiting for Jeff to pop up. We've been bouncing around. We talked a little bit. We'll talk a little more baseball now. I'm saving the football stuff for Jeff. I'm saving the Iron Maiden for Jeff. We got Will Cook at 8:15. So I'm trying to get rid of some of the stuff I don't think Jeff wants to talk about. Let's see. What else did I have in here that Jeff probably wasn't going to want to talk about? Get to that later. Trevor Bauer. Let's go back to Trevor Bauer in baseball. You know, if I'm the Mets, I think the Mets should breathe a sigh of relief. You know, first of all, I said it earlier. You know, you couldn't possibly bring him, sign Trevor Bauer, pay him $40 million this year, $45 million next year, and not piss off some of the other guys on your team. Now, this is not a guy who's thought of as the best pitcher in baseball. He's not. He's not even probably in the top five. Top of my head, obviously you got DeGrom, Cole, Scherzer. I don't know about Strasburg. You know, you're in that territory now. Is he better than, you know, Kershaw, a couple of those guys out in LA that I'm drawing a blank on? You know, to me, he falls in that 5 to 10 group. Is that worth $40 million? Now, you're the Dodgers. You've done a great job with your cap, with your taxes, your luxury tax, I should call that the cap, the luxury tax. And you're trying to repeat again. I mean, this team could do a serious change in the next year, in the year, with having to pay contracts. So I understand he's an LA guy, and I think from the very beginning, that's where he's wanted to go. And I think he just used the Mets. I think the Dodgers set back, let the Mets set it up. You know, the night before, the Mets thought they had it done. They thought this was a done deal and were just fine-tuning this. And the Dodgers jumped in, and it got close enough, and he said, okay, that's it. I'll take it. But I think in the end of the day, this guy could never have handled New York. I don't think he's talented. You know, he would have come here, maybe not been as successful as the Mets would have hoped. You know, I'm sure he would have won games. This is going to be a good Met team. But I think he would have been tough in some. He would have been a little tough in some big spots. And you would have had the fans, the media, all over him. And I don't think he would have reacted to it well. So, you know, he goes out to L.A. He doesn't have to be the best pitcher on that team, even if it's probably the highest paid. He doesn't have to be the best pitcher on that team. They're already a good team. They're going to be a good team this year. So, you know, again, I think the Mets should breathe a sigh of relief that they're not stuck with that guy for 2 years or better. They're not dealing with all that stuff in the clubhouse. I mean, he's out there 5 minutes. You got people chasing him through a hotel for an autograph. He essentially blows them off. And then writes a thing and says, you know what, I look forward to being there. I love the Dodger fans already, blah, 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 blah. But leave me alone on my personal time. And I'm paraphrasing. And, of course, he's probably a lot more polite than that. But come on, man. I mean, the guy's got no clue. You're already got a suspect reputation. You know, how about this? How about go out of your way to say, Jesus Christ, this guy's got $90 million to play baseball. Let me be joyous. Let me be an ambassador for baseball, an ambassador for the Dodgers. Let me go out there and celebrate the fact that I just got this big contract. And no, he's already got to write apology letters. I mean, seriously, it's just insane. So listen, good for the Mets. I think ultimately they dodged the bullet. And good for them, and they get to take that money and use it other places. Jackie Bradley Jr. would be a good pick. You know, maybe make a trade, or you know, there's a couple of free agent mail. They could take about Turner. Justin Turner's still out there. I mean, that's a good bat. Now the problem for the Mets, and here's the problem with baseball right now, is no DH in the National League. Now I think you're going to get the DH next year because. You have the collective bargain agreement out this year, and that's going to be in it. Now, the players wanted it, the owners wanted it, but neither wanted to give it up. Everybody wanted to use it as a pawn for whatever else. See, I don't know what the players' problem is, because the two big things that I know of that the owners want is expanded postseason, which I don't like. Okay, I don't like the expanded postseason. Okay, I don't know if anybody else does. I don't. I think you're cheapening it and cheapening it and cheapening it. And I don't want to hear about the football. Oh, well, you know, the Giants made it at 6-10. The Giants won the division. They didn't make it as a wild card. I said the same thing in the football. I don't want you to add more wild cards. I want teams to fight to get in. I like the fact that their teams have a chance toward the end. But I don't want to see consistently you know, 6-10, 7-9 teams making the playoffs. I just don't. And in baseball, I feel the same way. I feel the same way. Don't cheapen baseball by bringing in, you know, more and more wild card teams. But okay, let's say it's above the purist in me, so I don't get it. Okay, why don't the players want it? I don't get it. You get more of their players playing longer in the year, making more money. Wow, how terrible is that? So I don't get that from the players' perspective. I understand they're using it, but the Mets are going to suffer a little bit because they have a team that's built, you know, Dominic Smith at first and Pete Alonso DH'ing. You know, they can go get a Justin Turner and DH him a couple days a week. You know, without that spot, and listen, who wants to see the pitchers hit anyway? None of these guys, you know, in this day and age, if I'm an owner, I'm telling my guy, go stand up there and just stand there. It's an automatic out. I mean, even at a good pitcher, what are they batting, 140? With a homer and three RBIs? Nobody wants to see pitching anymore. So I don't get all of that. But you know what? Okay, you know what? Throw it out. That's not going to happen this year. Now, baseball did leave some of the rules in from last year. They did leave in a couple things like, let's see. They left in the runner at second base, which I don't like, in extra innings. I don't like it. I don't mind the shortening. If you get to like the 14th inning, you could do it then. The game's getting a little old. You're running out of players. But not in the 10th inning. You know, play the game. By the way, I just saw something on TV. Did anybody see the woman who put Gorilla Glue in her hair? Now, she might be the dumbest person I've ever seen. And again, I don't know her. Like, what were you thinking? But you know who's dumber? The people who donated to her GoFundMe page. She actually put a GoFundMe. Now, I saw it. She had successful surgery, they called it, to remove the glue from her hair. And I'm glad that she's not suffering anymore and all of that. But I got to ask the question, what were you thinking? Like when you sat down and said, I don't have a hairspray, what can I use? And you went, oh yeah, let me use Gorilla Glue. I mean, at that point, you got to hit yourself in the head with a tack hammer. You have to. You got to hit yourself in the head with a tack hammer and go, what was I thinking about? But again, who are the people who I think at some point I saw was $13,000. So I'm officially starting my own GoFundMe. I need new shoelaces. For both shoes, and I think for my work shoes. So I'm starting a GoFundMe. Can you please send me money so I can buy new shoelaces for my sneakers and my work shoes? I think something about $10,000 will do it. So please do me a favor. I'll put some information up on that is. But you know, I just see the co-host of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show just finally showing up. Man, working his ass off out there. Let's bring on my dear friend and the backbone of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, Jeff Tolwinski. What's up, Hefe? I'm not hearing you. I can't hear you. Not hearing you at all. You on mute? I'm not hearing you at all, my friend. Nope, not at all. Yeah, I can see your lips moving, but... not hearing you at all. Let me see if I'm doing anything wrong on my end. Nope. Hold on. Nope, not me, Jeff. I think it's got to be you on your end. Nope, not hearing Jeff at all. Some people would say this is the best Jeff's ever sounded, but I wouldn't go so far as to say that. Yeah, I don't know. You want to try to log off and come back? You want to, I don't know. Go ahead. He'll be right back though. So we'll get Jeff back on. But yeah, I had to sneak that in because that had to be the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Somebody put that, Gorilla Glue shit in their head. I don't get it. Butt Cutlets is back. Let's see. Jeff. Nope. Nothing. I'm not hearing you at all. See, I'm getting some messages here. Okay. Yeah, I'm not hearing Jeff at all. But, again, guys, make sure Wednesday night you tune into our good friend John Marhefka and everybody over at the Talk in the Fast Lane show, and of course our good friends Mike and Carl and JP at Pastor Mike every Wednesday night. Those guys are all competing for 7 and 9 slots. But if you want to hear some great music talk, you go to Talk in the Fast Lane. If you're more of the sports aficionado, you go over to Pastor Mike and enjoy yourself. Jeff is working feverishly to get on the air. Feverishly, as I say. And we did a lot tonight, but we got a lot to get to still. We're just waiting on Jeff. I want to get to some wrestling. I want to get to hold off on the quarterback carousel. A lot of stuff in the NFL we could talk about with Jeff when he finally gets on. And let's see, where's Iron Maiden getting to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Again, guys, remember it's a Valentine's Day weekend, so make sure you are you buy your honey, your special person, a little something, something, a little some flowers and whatever, and enjoy your weekend. Get out there and have some dinner, go out for a nice dinner, support the community. So, Hard Rockin' Sports is here. Coming off the down Super Bowl onto football season, we're calling it a day, and we'll be up with the baseball season now. Let's try Jeff again. Have a no, maybe it's me. I don't know. Yeah, it's got to be, I guess. I don't know. Let's see. I don't know how to fix this now. Jeff. Edit mic settings. Try that. No, that's not letting me do anything. Yeah, it can't be Jeff still. It's got to be me. I just don't know what it could be. And my dad worked before. That was working. Let's try something. Hey, Jeff. No, it's not. It's still not working. Unmute. Man, it can't be Jeff. Guests. Hello, my mic's working. Nope. I don't know why I'm not getting Jeff. Hey, my dad worked early, that was no problem. But let me, I'm going to shut down the radio show. I don't need the radio show.